We come again, brethren, in this time of the wait to the gospel according to John and chapter number 3.
Johannes chapter 3.
The gospel according to John chapter number 3.
Evangelia Johannes chapter 3.
The New Testament. We have been in the gospel of John for the past 3 weeks. And again today, brethren, for the sake of the importance of the matter at hand, for the sake of the importance of the new birth, we find ourselves again in the gospel according to John. And we shall read the third chapter then, and I'll commence my reading from verse 1 till verse
15.
And we will read from the Soto, and then I will read the English.
Mona emongwa ba farise e le posana ya ba Juda, one a le teng. Le bitso la e le ni kodema. Ata ho je so bisi a re ho yena, rabbi. Ga tse ba ba no muruti ya tswang ho modeng. Ba ne ha o motho ya ka etsa mihlolo o o yetsa. Ha modimo o so ho yena. Jesu a araba a re ho yena. Ka nne le te ke re ho yena. Motho ha sa tswa le ha la bobedi. O sitwa o bona muso wa modimo. Nikodema a re yena na motho a ka tswala jwang ha se a tsofetse na a ka boela a khutlela popelong ya mmae a boela a tswalwa Jesu a raba a re ka nne ke re wena motho ha sa tswale ka metsi le ka moya o sitwa kena musong wa modimo se se tsweng ke nama ke nama mme se se tsweng ke moya ke moya semakale ha ke re wena ka gona le tswale la bobedi Moya o fokela mo o ratang teng, mme o utlwa modimo wa ona. Empa ha o tsebe mo o tswang teng le mo o yang teng. O jwale le botlhe ba tsetsweng ke moya. Nikodema a araba a re yena. Tseo di ka etswa jwang na? Jesu a araba a re yena. Wena o mokuti wa Iseraele, mme ha o tsebe taba tseo. Ke re ho wena, re bolela seo re se tsebang, mme re paka seo re se boneng. Empa ha le amohele bopaki ba rona. E ka re ha ke le bolella tsa lefatshe, mme le sa dumele. Nna le sa dumela jang ha ke le bolella tsa lehodimo. Ha o ya kileng a nyolohela lehodimong, ha e se ya thobile lehodimong. E le mora wa motho, ya le lehodimong. Mme jwale ka ha moshe a ne a fanyehe noha felleng. Mora wa motho ka gona a fanyehe jwalo. Hore e mong le mong ya dumelang ho yena, a se ka dumela, a mpe a be le bophelo bo sa feleng.
And I shall read now then from the ESV. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him and said, Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again from above, footnote, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sounds, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus says to him, How can this be? Jesus answered, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and bear witness what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. May the good God bless the reading of his word. Brethren, as I've mentioned earlier on, we continue on our study here, the study of the new birth. The study that is so important in our lives that we cannot ignore talking about it or teaching about it if really we're looking forward to see the kingdom of God. So we continue on this study, brethren, looking at it from Christ's perspective in his meeting with Nicodemus. Brethren, if you may remember, or maybe let me refresh your minds, this is our fourth week in this study. The first week, brethren, we have looked on the importance and the necessity of the new birth. We have seen, brethren, on the first week that Jesus says the new birth is so necessary that in fact no one shall enter the kingdom of God unless he receives this miracle. We have seen how important this new birth is in our lives, based on the lives that we live. Our sinful characters are a proof today that we need the new
birth.
So we have seen also, brethren, that there is no amount of work that a man can do to convince God or to make sure that God looks at him, then grants him the gift of the new birth. Brethren, we have considered the profile of Nicodemus. We have seen what a man Nicodemus was. In a way, Nicodemus was far actually better maybe than most of us in this world as we speak today, based on human judgment. If you look at the life of Nicodemus and compare the life that maybe we live today, you might be convinced that Nicodemus was the best guy. Nicodemus was on his way to heaven. A Pharisee. A man who belonged to a sect of people who set themselves apart from the crowd. People who claimed a greater righteousness than anyone else. People who thought they were in the peak of religion, just waiting for God to take them home. And yet we see Jesus telling this particular man who thinks this way, who lives this way, and says, you must be born again.
Hallelujah.
So we have seen also, brethren, that the new birth is only God's work. It's God's work alone. It is in no way a conjunction or a juncture between man and God. It is not in any way work that we do helping God or God helping us. So we have seen in that way, then, brethren, that we have to rely on God for the new birth. For unless a man is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then we went to the second week. We have seen on the second week the error that Nicodemus had in his mind. And we have recognized that, brethren, once you do not understand who Jesus is, it is impossible for you to receive this new birth. We have seen Nicodemus saying that Jesus Christ was a teacher from God. We have seen that there was half truth in this. And we have recognized, brethren, that the reason why Nicodemus said Jesus was just a teacher, it is because Nicodemus thought that Jesus was just like Moses or any other prophet. So he thought Jesus was just a teacher from God. Thinking, brethren, that Jesus is just a somebody who has a stamp of approval upon him from God. And we recognize then, brethren, that it was a great error not to recognize who Jesus is, but claim to recognize his ministry. So we have to know who Jesus is. We have learned that Jesus is not just a teacher, is not just a prophet. He who speak of what he knows. And we have seen then that that is why he had a successful and great ministry of teaching. Then, brethren, we came to the third week. Then the third week, brethren, we have seen the importance of evangelism. The importance of bringing people to Jesus. Most of all, we have seen the importance of insisting in the message or the new birth. We have seen that Jesus, three times, he mentioned in this gospel in verse 3, verse 5, verse 11, saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." So we have realized, brethren, that Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus or shifting Nicodemus' focus and saying, really, I am serious, this is the truth coming from heaven. This is a solemn oath that God himself will say, verily, verily, this is true, there is no way out. We have seen then Nicodemus, brethren, continuing in his unbelief. But we have learned that the fact that Nicodemus continued in his unbelief, it caused Jesus himself to continue and insist the message of the new
birth.
So, it is also upon us, we have learned that we must insist on the message of the new birth, regardless of how hostile is the heart of the people out there. Then, at last, brethren, in the third week, we have seen the results of the insisted message of the new birth. We have seen Nicodemus being turned, brethren, and becoming a new creature. We have seen Nicodemus become a bold man, someone who stands and speaks for Christ Jesus. And we know, brethren, such boldness requires the Spirit of God. Then we are convinced that Nicodemus was regenerated after his meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ insisted on the message of the new birth. The same Nicodemus who came by night, He's the same Nicodemus who was brave during the day, putting together spices and going to the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ and washing his body, preparing it for burial. We have learned, brethren, that was a sign of commitment to the body of Christ. We can also be committed to this body of Christ, to Christ Jesus. As long as we have received the new birth, we must be committed. So in this 4th week, brethren, we find ourselves then in verse number 5. And I shall repeat verse number 5. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." I want to put forward to you, brethren, that this is a clear message to Nicodemus. This is a clear message to every one of us, that there is a need of inward cleansing in the soul of man. There is a necessity of cleansing in our lives. Jesus Christ says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But observe, brethren, the Bible tells us that he was answering Nicodemus. So after Jesus said in verse 3, which is our first week, after he says, unless a man is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God, Nicodemus asked a question. He said, how can a grown man be born again? Then the Bible tells us that now Jesus is answering. So the context here, brethren, starts from verse 3 actually. We see in verse number 3, he says, unless a man is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But in verse number 5, he says, unless a man is born by water and the Spirit, he will not enter the kingdom of God. We see that there is no difference in seeing the kingdom of God, verse 3, and entering the kingdom of God, verse 5. There is no difference. So surely, brethren, Jesus is putting this thing in a way that Nicodemus must understand after he asked a question. So there is also no difference in being born from above and being born by the Spirit, or being born by water and the Spirit. Jesus' message here, brethren, is to say it will take power from above that our lives may be turned to be a life that is acceptable before God. It will take, brethren, divine power that our fallen nature can be turned around to be satisfying before our God. So Jesus is putting a stamp in what he just said in verse number 3. So brethren, we learn then today again that man needs to be born from above. Man is in need of the Spirit to be one with God. Man must be regenerated. Man must be made anew. Man does not need any spiritual assistance. Man doesn't need to be assisted in any way, but man needs to be changed and be made anew. The Spirit, brethren, has to overcome the obstacles in our souls. The Spirit, brethren, has to come and set us right before God. It has to change our condition, the condition that we are. So this surely, brethren, it has to be inside our hearts that actually we have to look up to heaven for help, because there is no help out here. The help that we need must come from heaven. For our condition to change, it will have to take the Spirit of God to do it. God needs to send His Spirit, that the Spirit of God can change us and make us exactly a people which will satisfy God, people that will follow the rules or the commandments of God. The Spirit not to produce results, brethren. Hallelujah. So he says, let us explain it. He says, by water and the Spirit. What does it mean by water? Surely, brethren, let me put it before you quickly. It is not too bad that he's talking about here. There is not too bad to be born twice. It is not by water, bed,
one bed.
It is not by the Spirit, another bed. It is one bed, by water and Spirit. But maybe the focus too much as people is the matter of water. What does it mean by water? Let me put it before you, brethren. He is not talking about Christian baptism. And surely he was talking to a sinful person, Nicodemus. Sinners don't need Christian baptism to be saved. We don't need to be immersed in water to be saved. So Jesus was not talking about Christian baptism. Because Christian baptism, brethren, does not save. But Christian baptism, brethren, is for the saved. So you get saved, then baptized. You are not baptized to be saved. So surely we need to take that out of our mind then, for Jesus cannot be telling Nicodemus that he needs to be baptized then be saved. There is a meaning into this, brethren. Because we know, brethren, even the writer of the gospel is writing to an audience like me and you, who knows or who should know that Christian baptism does not save. So Jesus is not talking about that. What is Christian baptism, maybe? Christian baptism is, as it says, it's for Christians. It's where they affirm their unity with God. We need to be baptized in water to affirm and to show out, or as an outside sign of our unity with God through Jesus Christ. So surely, someone has to be born anew, then receive Christian baptism. Someone might think maybe he was talking about the baptism of John the Baptist, since John the Baptist was still alive. But brethren, we see that he was not also talking about the baptism of John. Because brethren, baptism of John happened before the baptism of Christianity. The baptism of John, brethren, was for that remnant, those set apart people by God who believed on the coming one. It was a baptism for unto repentance. It was a proof that they repent and they are willing to accept Jesus Christ when he comes. Let's hear the testimony of John the Baptist himself. Matthew chapter number 3, verse 11.
Matthew chapter 3,
verse 11.
Verse 11.
This is John speaking, the Baptist himself. Or John the Baptist.
Ore, halina, kile kolobetsa pako ka metsi fela. Empa ya tang ka mora ho nna. O mphetsa ka matla. Me ha ke a lokela o monkela dieta. Ke ena ya tla le kolobetsa ka moya o halalelang le ka mollo.
I baptize you by water, by the one whose coming is more powerful than I am. I cannot even carry his sandals. He shall baptize you by the Spirit. John the Baptist was telling people to look forward to the coming one. Brothers and sisters, the focus here is unto Jesus. John the Baptist says, don't come look at me. I don't have help for you. I don't have answers. There is one who is greater than I am. Focus unto him. So we can see the symbol in the baptism of John. John's baptism symbolized the coming inward cleansing in the ministry or the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, brethren, says, I wash you from the outside. But someone is coming who shall wash you from the inside. As it takes water for me to wash you from the outside, that is John. It will take the one of the Spirit to wash you inside by his Spirit. So that is the focus we have today, brethren. It's what will cause us to even depend more unto God. Because we need something that we don't have. We need a Spirit. So how was Nicodemus supposed to know this, brethren? If we may go back to Brother Jacob asked us to read this morning,
Ezekiel 36.
How was Nicodemus supposed to know this truth, brethren? And how are we also supposed to know this truth? Ezekiel 36, and I shall read from 25 to 27 this time.
25 to 27.
And it reads as follows. I'm using the ESV. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will pour within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules.
Le ditshwantsho tsohle tsa lona. Ke tla le neya pelo e ntjha, ke kenye moya o mošwa ka gare go lona. Ke tla tsosa pelo ya lebenaneng ya lona. Ke le neya pelo ya nama. Ke tla beya moya wa ka gare go lona. Mme ke tla le tsamaisa dikomelong tsa ka. Ke etse gore le boloke ditaelo tsa ka, gore le di phete.
Brethren, here is Nicodemus standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, getting the truth from heaven itself.
Nicodemus
But remember Nicodemus' profile, brethren, as we have looked at it in our first week. Nicodemus was a man who had a great understanding of the Old Testament. Nicodemus is the man who should have known about the cleansing that God promised. So Jesus, brethren, is driving Nicodemus' mind to God's promise that he promised to these rebellious people of this world. In this book, brethren, Ezekiel 36, we find God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel to a rebellious people, people who worship idols. But I love the way the Lord speaks here, brethren. And it is the same thing that Jesus wants Nicodemus to understand. It's the same thing that Jesus wants us today to understand. Listen what it says. I will sprinkle clean water on you. Brethren, surely we know that God was not saying he shall pour water from heaven, natural water, upon us so that our uncleanness may go away. It is impossible. Because he says, after pouring this clean water, shall clean us from all our uncleanness. From all. And all means, brethren, all. It will clean us from our uncleanness. It will clean us from uncleanness, I mean, and it will clean us from all our idolatry. Then he carries on, verse number 26. He specifically saying now, where is he going to do this miraculous work? I will give you a new heart. So your heart of stone will be taken and be cleansed and made whiter than a snow, and to become new. He will cleanse it from all uncleanness by this water that he will pour. This powerful water will have to take this powerful sin and its
stains.
And then he says, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. A new spirit I will put within you. Why would God do this? So that this cleansing serves a purpose. The purpose, and the purpose of this cleansing will be that a sinful people like me and you will have to begin then from that time to listen or follow the commandments of God. That is why God is going to cleanse us. That is why God promised to cleanse people, so that the sinful people may be cleansed and then follow his statutes, as he mentioned here. We have to follow his commandments, his rules. What does this tell us, brethren? Without this cleansing power of the Spirit, it is impossible for us to be cleansed. It is impossible for us to please God. We need the Spirit to be poured upon us, that we may be cleansed and made anew, that we may be a new creation. Then we shall follow the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of God. This is what Jesus purposed for Nicodemus to understand, which is what we need to understand also, brethren. If there's anyone who's thirsty, he needs to come and drink on the fountain of life, and that fountain is Jesus the Christ. It is also in the Gospel of John. The Spirit is spoken over and over as water. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Come and drink. Have eternal life. Not just be dragged to Christ. Come and be cleansed and be made anew. Come to be rebuilt again. Only by the Spirit of God. This water that Christ Jesus is talking about, it serves the purpose to cleanse us from our sin. This living stain of sin within us must be taken away. So Nicodemus, you cannot do it. It doesn't matter how much religious you are, Nicodemus. It doesn't matter how much educated you may be, Nicodemus. It doesn't matter how much respect you have from the people. The fact of the matter is, this subject does not depend on you. Now it is time for Nicodemus to look upon heaven. It is time for anyone who's like Nicodemus, who is a sinner, to look up to God for help. Just to prove to you, brethren, before I go to the fact that Jesus Christ spoke of the water and Spirit in one line, I still have to speak of the Spirit, because now I'm saying the water is the Spirit, but why is he mentioning Spirit again in the same verse? We need to go through that. Brethren, there is a baptism that saves. But the baptism that saves is not the baptism of water. It is to be united in the body of Christ by the cleansing power of the Spirit and by the indwelling power of the Spirit. So we must be cleansed and we must be indwelled. There must be that power of cleansing so that we are able to be attracted to Jesus. Then when we come to Jesus, we believe unto him, we have eternal life, and we are indwelt by the Spirit. That is why, brethren, he speaks of the water and the Spirit in one line. We must be cleansed water, and by the Spirit we must be indwelt, we must be empowered, we must be filled. But just to prove to you, brethren, again, that the baptism doesn't save. Water baptism doesn't save. I am told of a story of a young man who went to get to be baptized in the ZCC church a couple of weeks ago. This young man, he goes there carrying his baggage of sin. He goes there and he wants to be baptized. Then he comes back, he comes to one Christian. He said to this Christian brother, I am baptized by the ZCC. Am I standing right now? It's a good question. I am now baptized by the ZCC. Am I standing right? Brethren, this is not a matter because he was baptized by ZCC, that is why I say he's not standing right. No, it is not there. No, it's not there. They just add on the matter. The fact that he was not saved, it is because baptism does not save. And secondly, ZCC does not baptize the Christians. So if any of us here has been baptized somewhere without receiving the Lord Jesus Christ first, that baptism is dead. It is not even the baptism of John, because the baptism of John was to those who had repentance in their heart. It is not even the baptism of God. So for us, brethren, if we really and truly believe now, we have to be baptized. But baptism doesn't say, this brother came back from baptism and he was not saved. Then he comes back carrying his sins again. Then he asks the brother and says, now I am baptized, but I'm still not saved. Because I'm still a sinner. But since he wanted to continue his sin, and he justifies himself in things that is right. But brethren, baptism does not save. But there is a baptism that saves. And that is not the baptism of water. It is the baptism by the Spirit, whereby God takes a sinful soul, cleanses it, and makes it one with the Lord Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, what am I saying? We need to be cleansed. We need the cleansing power of God. To stand right before our Savior, we must be cleansed. To follow the commandment of God, as Ezekiel puts it, we must be cleansed. Listen to what God says here in this book of Isaiah 44. Don't open, you shall write it down. He says, brethren, in Isaiah 44, verse 3, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. But then he carries on and explains what is it that he's talking about. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. So when God promised brethren that he will pour water upon thirsty ground, he's speaking about a sinful people like me, the offsprings of Adam himself. And he says, the water is talking about, it is his spirit. So brethren, God promises to pour his spirit upon souls. It has to come as a washing agent. It has to come as a cleansing power. But that, brethren, also tell you how deep is our sin. If we need the power from heaven, brothers and sisters, to cleanse us from this, how terrible are we before the Lord without the Lord Jesus Christ? How great is our judgment? Without the Spirit, if we may continue in our lives without being cleansed, how terrible is our end? We need the power of God to cleanse us from within. For us to stand right before God, we need to be born again. Jesus is stressing the same message of verse number 3 in verse 5. This is what we learn today. We need to depend on God. We need to put our focus and our trust upon the lifted one on the cross. For the Bible tells us that as Moses lifted up the bronze snake in the wilderness, also we shall look upon the one who is lifted up. Brethren, do we know the one who is lifted up? Do we know that the one who's lifted up is the one that sends the Spirit? Do we know, brethren, that the one that was lifted up is the one who initiated this ministry of the new birth, this miracle in our lives? Do we know, brethren, that if we can shift our focus and not look upon Christ, there is no help for us? Do we know that, brethren, we cannot be born anew outside this Jesus Christ who is Lord and Savior. When he says by the water and the Spirit, what do we learn from
it?
We only learn one thing, brothers and sisters. The same thing that Nicodemus had to learn. If we want to live,
how about to pay?
Not just to survive. If you want to live, if you want to have eternal life, if you want to have future with God, if you want to be the one who sits where God is, if you want to be the one in the holy hills of God, if you want to be the one to be called a child of God, not the child of the devil or the enemy of God, we must look upon the lifted one. We must focus our minds unto heaven, for our head has to come from above. There is nothing we can do, brethren, as we stand here, but we have to lift our eyes and our hearts unto Christ. For Jesus Christ alone, brothers and sisters, saves. He washes our sin as water washes our debt. But even greater, because His Spirit is more powerful to take any stain of sin within us. We need thorough cleansing, brethren, to stand right before God. And now, when we have received then this thorough cleansing, what is our joy then? What is our joy? Is to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, our God. We couldn't do it. All my life, I depended on things that I can do. But now you have revealed unto me that you are God, you are King, sovereign and high. There is nothing that you cannot do. Nothing is impossible. Even our sin, as deep as it is, when you go to sleep, is it possible for you to say, thank you, Jesus? Not just for the life that I have around here, but for the ministry or the miracle of the new birth. Brothers and sisters, this can only happen by water and the Spirit. We need a cleansing and restoration. We need a thorough cleansing, brethren. And then at the same time, we need to be indwelt by the power of God. Why will we be indwelt by the power of God? Since we could not bring ourselves to God, since we cannot bring ourselves to God, surely, brethren, we cannot keep ourselves in God. So if we cannot keep ourselves in God, we need God to keep us in Himself, for we do not have the power. If I was a charismatic, I was going to say clap hands for Jesus, but don't. Hallelujah. For Jesus has done all this out of love and grace, brethren. So can we come to Jesus? Can we believe upon Jesus? Can we depend on Him? Can we call upon His name and be saved today? For He is willing, as the Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel, He is promising, He will cleanse us, He will pour this water, we will be cleansed if we can come to Him. Look upon Jesus. Come to Jesus. Depend on Jesus. This is Jesus who does all the work. All that I must do is to believe. Glory be to God, hallelujah, and amen.
Amen.
May the good God bless you.